9th, 2023. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic, Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Warafuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.drmirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the one that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulih al-kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. Before we get started this evening, we're asking everyone to make a dua, that's a small prayer, for our brother Sheikh Yusuf Sultan Muhammad passed away. We're asking everyone to make a prayer for him. May Allah bless him, forgive him his faults and his shortcomings, and grant him paradise, and bless his family with strong faith in Allah during their period of grief. The Quran Surah 2, Ayah 30, I'm making a Khalifa in the earth. But at one time there was only God's creation everywhere you looked. God's creation, even the house you lived in, very simple house. In the beginning, tree leaves, yes, straw, mud, yes, very simple start, very simple what you live in, very simple beginning. But now you live within man's mind. That's what you live in. You live within man's creation. You live within man's mind all around you. So really, if man doesn't help you to be aware of God and what God wants for you in your life, you won't get it because the whole environment is showing you nothing but man. So when you read about God saying to the angels in Quran Most High, and glorified is he, I am about to put a vicegerent in the earth. I'm about to put a Khalifa in the earth. That's the beginning of life of the brain and its role in making history and establishing the order of mankind that God wants. That's what it's all about. So brothers, as imams, you have to see that Islam is all about establishing the human soul and the human mind, human life in community. You can't live outside of community. You can't live outside of the issues of community life. You can't live outside of problems for community life. You can't live outside of the direction for man and community life. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 30, I will make in the earth a Khalifa. Bukhari, page 2, 18, everyone is a ruler. So human measurements, how big can the human being become? You can't become God. God needs human and not God. You can't become angels. We are human, not angels. God says to the angels, according to the holy book, he says, sure, I am making in the earth a Khalifa. Now, we can translate it different ways. A trustee, a ruler, one who was given responsibility of rule, to fix the rule, to fix the order, to fix the authority, but as a trustee, not as the authority himself, but as a trustee formed by God to keep the trust. So we know that in the history of Al-Islam, we have Khalifas come after the passing away of this earth, of Muhammad the Prophet, praise and the peace be upon him, who was the messenger of God and the first successor after him that the Muslim community looked to as their leader, was called Khalifa, the Khalifa Abu Bakr, the Khalifa, great Khalifs. You know Abu Bakr, Omar, and Uthman, and Ali. They were the four great rulers after Muhammad the Prophet, praise and the peace be upon him. I believe a person who has studied very seriously what developed after the leadership of our Prophet, I believe that it wasn't necessarily those individuals that made the mistake, but I think the thinkers, scholars, made a mistake in identifying individual persons as Khalifa. Khalifa, collective body, not single person. So God says he's making on the earth. I'm of the understanding that God was saying that every human being is a potential Khalifa, and we can have that rule that God entrusted to the Khalifa together, not separately, but it has to be together as a collective body. We can be Khalifa, not a single person. Khalifa body must be the rule. So Shura consultation, the Prophet went. So Muhammad himself refused to accept a rule, although he was chosen messenger and servant of God, had made him an authority in our lives, but he refused to accept to give orders and not have others use their minds and thinking and contribute to a decision or choice in the matter. He invited his companions, his learned people that was in his company to think on the problem, think on the situation and give him their opinion. What do you have to say about this, Khalid ibn bin Walid? He would say, and he would turn to one, turn to another, asking their opinion, their advice, and God was communicating to him directly, but he still respected the opinion of others. And he didn't want to make a decision by himself unless God had revealed that in Quran. He wanted to have others join him in arriving at the conclusions, making the right decision. So this tells me that Al-Islam is by democratic consensus. Al-Islam has respect for the intelligence of other people, and that one person can never make all the decisions, because that shows that he has no respect for the intelligence of other people. And if we accept the one of the hadiths that say the control of God is on the collective body, which means that God is not governing the people through one person, but God wants a government by and for a collective body, not one individual. The Quran Surah 2, Ayat 30, Allah is placing a Khalifa in the earth. Khalifa, a responsible group of persons. So we are about freedom. We want to free ourselves. We want to free our life so we can have more growth and responsible growth. We are going to be responsible for ourselves, and that's what Khalifa is. Khalifa is a responsible person or a responsible order. The Khalifa is really a personal type or a type for a collective group or an ordered group that is responsible for the environment of human beings or for society, as we say, for human society. So Khalifa is a responsible, organized body working according to the will of God and following the guidance of God to reach more and more growth for the human society, growth in accordance with the plan and the will of God. So Khalifa receives help from his own nature. So the life of Khalifa is the life lived in accordance with the divine plan that God planned and created in him. He has an inherent plan on his life or in his life, in the constitution of his life. Something just automatically happens for him when he's blocked from proceeding on with his life in accordance with that plan. The Quran, Surah 3, Ayat 110, you are the best community. God says he has created us so that we should grow. G-R-O-W. And he said he has created us as a plant. That means he has created us to have a patterned growth. Plants just don't grow. They grow according to their own inherent pattern. And they grow according to that pattern. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he has given you a religion, the one that you were originally patterned upon. Then you should understand that this word fitra is also addressing the pattern growth, but not some pattern that is imposed upon our life from outside of our creation and imposed upon our creation. No, it's a pattern that's revealed in our creation, and then God gives us assistance for it. Life is growth. And when you don't have that growth that God intends for your life, then you don't have freedom. God says, you are the best community evolved. So the word ukarijah literally means brought out. And plants are brought out. God says of the plant, the thing that grows, the thing that are cultivated on the earth, he called that something brought out. Same word, ukarijah, is from the Arabic root word, tarajah. That means to come out of something. And God speaks of us as a community brought out. Brought out how? Brought out, brought as a growth that follows a pattern growth. Now, when you see people not productive, and not managing much, and not having a responsive representative life with other societies, it's because they are not evolved. They are not brought out in the pattern growth. Their growth is not a pattern growth. Khalifa receives help from his own nature. So the life of Khalifa is the life lived in accordance with the divine plan that God planned and created in him. He has an inherent plan on his life or in his life, in the constitution of his life, something just automatically happens for him when he's blocked from proceeding on with life in accordance with that plan. Fitra, or Fatiha, pardon me, opening of the way for establishing your purpose. The Quran begins with Al-Fatiha. We know the meaning of it. It means that the opening, so means give a message of opening and victory, although there is another chapter by the title, The Victory. So when someone is at war with the enemy with another army, and one army gets victory and conquers the place that they are aiming to conquer, that victory of that army over the other army in that place is referred to as faith. It means he opens the city. So to open the city to your purpose is a victory. That's your victory. That's conquest. So really, Al-Fatiha brings to mind not only the opening of the Quran, but it brings to mind the opening of the way for establishing your purpose. You open a city up and you establish your life there, establish yourself there. The opening of the way to establish your purpose is a victory and open a conquest, and where we are going to read it and look at the language of that chapter. The first verse says, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Unlike the other chapters, it is the first verse of this chapter, whereas the other chapter, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, is the opening of the first verse, begin with something else. Let us take for an example the next chapter, Surat al-Baqarah. The first verse is Alif Lam Mim, not Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. For Al-Fatiha, the first verse is Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. And there are a total of seven verses, the last being the path, the seventh of the verses. So Al-Fatiha has seven verses, double equals 14. Now this chapter is called the seven matching verses, ayats. So these seven refers to as seven in double. So if you have the seven in double, the total would be 14, wouldn't it? Although the verses are seven, it has a reference also to 14. And this chapter, in my opinion, is addressing many things. It has been called the essence of the whole Quran. What we want to look at this morning after the Fajr prayer is its message to the whole world. And not just a message to the whole world, but its message to the problem that is in the way of us having the world as one. Those that come before gave the wrong understanding in religion, caused us to see the world in pieces, in division, and lost the light that wanted us first to see the world as a whole, mankind as one, man's purpose as one, and also creation as one. We could discuss that later, maybe. So it starts off with Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Has God been understood not to be al-Rahman and al-Rahim? If he hasn't, then why is it this here? This is the opening. This is the very important. So God must not have been understood as al-Rahman and al-Rahim. This has direct reference to the scripture, to the people of Abraham, to the scripture that came to the people of Abraham, the Jews and the Christians, and those in the world who have similar beliefs. So we find in the spiritual that Jews, there is one extreme, and in the scripture of the Christians, another extreme. So we are not here to criticize anybody's religion or anybody's scripture, okay? I'm perfectly at peace with Jews and Christians when they follow their religion. Rahim addresses Jews' views of God as a punisher. The one extreme was from the Jews who made the world for Israel and made the God, the Lord of Israel, not the Lord of all people, the God of Israel, etc. So this is the one extreme that Bismillahirrahmanirrahim comes to correct. And then the Christians come, and they looked at the God of Israel through the teachings of Christ Jesus as they understood the teachings of Christ Jesus. They looked at the Jewish people and the Old Testament, as they called it, and they resent the extremes the Jews went to, and they see the Jewish version or perception of God as a God that is stern, severe, punishing God, and God that ready to punish. The Christian extreme is God as only love and without restrictions. So the Christian wants to the other extreme, and they say God is a loving God. Now, you know, we cannot give God too much praise as a God of love and mercy, etc. But if you don't have that balance, then you lead the people to another extreme where God becomes lover and mercy, and they forget the restrictions. They forget the law. They forget that God is severe in punishment too. So we have these two extremes in the world, and the Quran came to correct that and put us squarely and solidly on our feet in the balance. So you see, I just made a cross, didn't I? I said solidly on our feet and in the balance. So the Quran balanced the extremes. So the Quran comes to put us upright, solid upon our feet and in the balance, not going to either extreme. And the message to the world is that God is beneficent in the translation of Ahmadiyya's, which is an excellent translation. I just had some problems, a few serious problems, but an excellent translation. Rahim, mercy, the womb of mother. So God is the beneficent, the merciful, and now we use the language God is merciful in giving and generosity, kindness of supplying us with all of our needs. So we say the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. So God is mercy in redeeming man after he has gone astray, falling and lost away. God is merciful to bring him back, to redeem him, to give him life again. His mercy gives him life in the first place from his mother. He came to life, and the life from his father. But I'm speaking of the compassionate now. Mama is symbolic of the compassion that has shown the life. One teacher in Al-Islam said, the man carries the light burden, the woman carries the heavy burden. The sperm is light. The baby in the womb is heavy. So the womb of the mama is the mercy of God. So where is the light it received and cared for, there is a domain of the womb of the mother. The exact language, you know, we don't use. Science tells us just what that baby is, but we do know. It is in the stomach because it gets so large. The stomach just explodes almost. So she carries that baby, and while the life is there, it is being cared for. It expresses no difficulty, and it comes out here, and it can't remember any pain. So we know it suffered, but it doesn't remember any pain. It can recall any discomfort, and it's wrapped up very nicely and protect very nicely until it becomes fully developed for delivery into our world. So this is companions, the mercy of God. And when the baby comes out, the baby finds milk ready. Mother doesn't have to say, oh, I got a living child here. What am I going to feed it? Food is there ready. Food is right there where she likes to hold it, next to her breast or her heart, right? So this is symbolic of the mercy and the beneficence of God, the merciful benefactor that comes with mercy to the human being. God is Al-Rahim. We mentioned that he's mercy after we lose the way. Then he's mercy to help us come back to the way, to redeem us after we are lost or after we are astray. So that's why God is called Al-Rahim. It is to show that God is merciful, but he did not just become merciful with the Christian era. He was merciful from the very beginning in creating the world and creating life. That's where we see him, see his mercy. So his giving, educating, and helping man to come to civilization, and has been his mercy. The people before the Christian era and the people of the book that was given guidance, that guided them to the path of knowledge and benefit. That is the mercy of God. So mercy is not just to help the sick, the blind to see. That's not the only mercy. The big mercy is that God created this beautiful universe, and he is so kind in bringing you the benefits of this universe. God is merciful, but don't forget that his mercy is not just coming. His mercy has always been, always. That's the point. So we see God in the right light and praise him now with the right praise. The Bible says, with a perfect praise, alhamdulillah, praise be to God. So God is Lord of the world, not just one people. The second problem, Rabbil Alameen. Somebody said, he's Lord of Israel, he's Lord of all the world. He's everybody's Lord equally too. So Rab closed the word Rabbiyat, meaning two parents. So the first verse is repeated, Al-Rahman Al-Rahim. Why is the first verse repeated now again? It is repeated again because what interrupted this understanding or this perception of God, what blocked it, it was the same people that he is the Lord exclusively, that he created them, raised them up, and evolved them. That's what it means. Lord means created and evolved all together. So it is all the same word. So you have both the idea that he created the human being but also evolved him. So it is a little stronger than parent. But this word is taken originally from a word that means parent. And the expression is in the Quran where we still have that connection in the expression of my parents who raised me from a small child when I was helpless, who raised me up from helpless from a small child, dependent on its parent. The word is Rabbiya for the two parents who did that. Rabbiyani Tadhira. So when I was a little helpless like, so we have Rab in there still, that connection. So the parent receives the life from the creation of God, and then the parent takes care of the life and helps that life along until it can manage for itself, seeing that it has opportunities to develop and reach its manhood, to reach its maturity, to reach its womanhood or manhood. So this is how God and some of our best teachers explain this. It is not just my way. So this is the traditional way of explaining thus in El-Islam. The wound of creation, the body, then the wound of intellect. So reverence the wound that bore you. God as also the one who takes us from the wound of our mother into main pictures. One is the picture of just nature, life, and the other is another picture because man and women are more than biologic. Men and women are consciousness and intelligence. So here is the one who takes us from the womb of our mother. The world created itself as a material body is our womb. So the womb of our existence, we are born out of that womb. The womb of creation itself physically, but also mentally, also as a conscious, intelligent being. Mentally is not enough. To say it, God says also as a conscious, intelligent life. So we are taken out of the womb of creation, and it's God that gives us intellectual birth. and we can't have it without God. We can have abortion and breech birth. We can have these incorrect deliveries, but we cannot have the perfect delivery that God created us for without God. So it is God also who takes us from that. So we are going to ease your way to a state of ease. And we are going to teach you so that you will not forget. That is the parent, isn't it? And we are going to open up the opportunities for you. God is saying this like a parent. God took him when he was helpless, like a little baby, lost without anyone to care for him, and took him and comforted him like a mother does a little baby. Then nourishes him step by step. Every time a need arose, God was there to prepare him to get the benefit and not suffer the except a little, but get the benefit. Or even if he had to suffer much, the benefit was so much greater that the suffering was forgotten. So this is the God of mercy. So it is repeated, our Rabbil Alameen. The one who has done this for the whole world is certainly Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. That's why it is repeated. You got the problem of the Lord of Israel out of the way, and now you see that the Lord of the Lords of all the world, he has done this all over the world. Now say it again, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. The Quran, Surah 1, Ayat 4, Master of the Day of Judgment. So the next verse is Maliki Yawmiddin. All of this is addressing the wholeness of the world, the wholeness of the human life. That is what it is addressing. So this is a universal message with a focus on the whole world. And the universal plan of God, not a regional plan, a national nor local plan, but a universal plan of God. Do you see? So this is a universal message, and it's fulfilling its mission. It has a mission, not only a message. It is a message, and its mission is to bring the kindness and mercy, gifts, and blessings of God to all his creation. Without any unjust discrimination, this is the message. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj speaks. The Quran, Surah 95, Ayat 8, Allah best to judge. Mark 12:36, sit on my right hand. So you say your God is the king. Your Lord is also the king of Israel. He is the God of Israel. He is the Lord of Israel. He is also the King of Israel. Not this, the King. This is the real judge, the real master of the Day of Judgment, the same one, not a different one, the same one who is the master of the Day of Judgment. It is the one that Scripture says, set down at my right hand. No, same one who is the master on the Day of Judgment with no one sitting at his right hand in the judgment. No, there is no one sitting at his right hand in the judgment. He is the judge alone, and he is the one who can be judged, who can't be judged. Another reference to God in this connection that touches me when I was a young man studying the Quran, to know the religion, the Quran says, who is better to judge, the one who created and has existed always or the one who comes after and is himself created? So you think about that. I thought about it. I say, this is a terrible error that the world made. A terrible injustice to God. This is not fair. This is a bad way to treat God, who has given us everything, created everything for us. And now we are going to go to somebody else coming to redeem us and judge us. What do they know about us? They just came here like we did. What do they know about the beginning of our sin with Adam? They weren't here when Adam was created. They didn't see Adam in his life, how he lived it. The only thing that they can do is have some relation from God to understand themselves. Now, are they going to be the judge? They can't judge it. So God is the judge. He is the king. This word melik has reference to judge. It has reference to king also. So king, judge, master, they translated master because a king is a ruler over the people. So this is using the language of man, history, and life traditions, the evolution of his language. So the nature and the development of his language. So he says king, and it means the master. No, God is the master. God is the king and also judge on the day of judgment. So when you put it with the end day, the final day, then it becomes judge, right? Because it is always addressing scripture that came before. This means that master of the day of judgment and the judgment is that deen and the same word that is religion, right? So deen, day of judgment, day of death. So the judgment, yom medin. So when you put the term yom medin, it becomes the day of judgment. But without yom going before it with that reference to the day of judgment in scripture, it is the language of the people of the book. It means what? The religion. Al-Din means the religion. But in Arabic language, Al-Din doesn't necessarily mean religion. Al-Din comes from a word day and also means death. So it means that the day of religion, it means the day of judgment, yes, we know that. But what is its root meaning? What does it stem from? Stems from the idea that we are all indebted to God and our life should be lived in a way to pay up the debt. So we all are indebted to God and our life should be a paying up the debt. You pay up the debt with your life. So deen, religion, shows man how to pay the debt. So the day of judgment is the day when we pay up the debt. And I'm sure that meaning is in all people's religion that believe in the judgment day. It is a day when you are going to pay the debt in full. So the revelation, the Quran came and gave us a new meaning of religion. So what is religion? Religion is the way that God gives us. I'm talking about it as revealed religion now, not just religion generally speaking. Man has different religions, but the religion that came from God to man is his guidance or light to show man how he is to pay his debt. So God has given you light. And you have the debt to live it according to God's plan for your life because he gave it to you. It's a debt, right? So God gives you your life. You didn't create yourself. You didn't give yourself life. So you have a debt to God. And a debt is lives life the way God intended for you to live it. And that's how you pay up the debt. And that is religion, isn't it? The same. See how clear it is? It is the same. To you we worship and serve. Man gives his whole life to God in service to each other in print, in part. If I live my life in the way God, the Creator, who gave me this life, intended me to live it, I'm living my religion, but God didn't just leave us with that. God gave us the light so that we could see exactly what we are to do to have Al-Islam in our life as a way of life, a guide and a pattern to follow and obey, etc. So what is the next verse referring to? I think we understand when I say master. Each year it referencing to a problem that exists before, right? Iyaka na abudu. Translated, to you alone do we worship. So worship means serve. To you alone we serve as a servant, a slave. To you alone do we give our life in service. Our whole life is given like a slave gives his whole life in service to his master. So to you alone, God, we give our life. It is talking about the whole of life because you know we serve each other, don't we? But we don't give our whole life to anybody, only God. It's talking about the life. So you alone do we serve and you alone do we beg for help. Nasta'in means seeking assistance from God. Now, we know we seek assistance from each other, too. So we are helped by each other. Parents help their children, and children in turn help their parents. So we are helping each other. This help is just like that. This help must be understood in the contents of this chapter. It is talking about help for the whole life, help for the whole world, not help for somebody that needs a job or help for somebody that needs to get off of alcohol or drugs. It is not talking about that help. It includes that help, but this is mainly addressing help that we need to manage this life and this vast creation, especially on earth, with other human beings. That is the help that it's talking about. The Quran, Surah 61, Ayat 14, Jesus, who will be helpers. So when Jesus asked his companions in the Quran to be his helpers, their reply was, we are your helpers for God. But actually it means to get where God wants us to go. So we are your helpers in the path of God. Now that language, that term, path, is not there in the language at all. But that is what it means. We are your helpers in the path of God to arrive at the destination, to meet God. We are your helpers. It is not quite this language. A different word is used, the term ansar. The disciple of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. That word means helper, like the Ansar of Medina. They helped the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, who was badly in need of people to respond to him so that he would be able to establish the Ummah. See you for help. Seek you for help. It is for the purpose of life. So this help is not just help for little fabulous tribal things. So this help is in the big picture. All of Al-Fatiha is the big picture, talking about this whole picture, help for the big cause, etc. So when we turn only to you for that help, so now can you see how clear it is? You can turn to anyone else but God. He designed the creation. He made it. If you go against his will or his purpose in it, you are going to have the trouble. He puts it under the laws, etc. So if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to have trouble. I can't go to anybody who just came here last year, get help for the big task that's to live in God's creation. I must turn to God. who made creation to know how to live in his creation. So you alone now, you understand it, right? A lot of us, we read this all the time, but we don't understand it. You alone, you turn to your mama. You turn to me. You will turn to a bum out there in the streets if he's the one that has what you need at that time, right? So you turn to everybody for help. Turn to many things for help. Farmers turn to land for help. God isn't that only one who turns to for help that readily understood. So this is what it is saying to you alone. And we try to rationalize it. Whatever help comes to you, it comes from God through something else. It is talking about help for the purpose that God created you for. Help to arrive at the destination. Help for the purpose for which God has created you. That is what we need. We need help to live our life in a context of God's creation and in this material universe, and particularly in the contents of man as a global community or society. The Quran Surah 2, Ayat 213, man community was one. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio. And this is the language that is freeing us up to live with each other as one community, yes, God says, and your community was once one community. This is Al-Fatiha come to prepare us for that. Al-Fatiha, we can discuss this until next year this time, if God keeps us awake until next year this time, if God keeps us awake, keeps us on this floor and sustain us. It is so rich and so full of so many things, it would take volumes and volumes. Many have written volumes on this seven verses. Be patient with me, and we are going to complete this and go to something else. But it might take a little longer because the sun may rise. The sun will rise, inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a good time for the sun to rise at 7:30 a.m. So this verse, we have made some comments on it, and I think you understand clearly what I'm trying to pass on to you. So body, palm, cross, balance is at the shoulders. So the Quran, Surah 3, Ayat 102, die not except as Muslims. So when you are looking at man with connections of matter, the earth that he's born out of and lives upon and works upon, works with, look at man separate from earth. The balance is here at the shoulders, and the base is the feet. It is still a cross, isn't it? So actually his own posture in the upright position is a cross. God says, thou not except in the state of a Muslim on the cross, but not that cross that they are talking about, the cross of the balance of life for human beings. Thou not except in that balance that God wants for your life. Die in that upright in the balance. And it just doesn't mean die physically. It means do not give up your consciousness to something else, to another idea, another person. Do not give up your consciousness except that you be upright. And that's in the balance. So path one, Sirat, refers to composite soul, path of knowledge, brain. To Sabil. The word for path is Sirat. But there are other words for path. God's path is referred to most often as Sabil, not Sirat. So Sabil is a very general term and used for God to include all that man's life needs to reach where it is supposed to go. So the guidance for that whole life to help man arrive where he is supposed to go is the Sabil of God. So in that path, we have an obligation to give charity, to defend the faith, to do many things in that path. But this term, Sirat, is referring to human life, the soul, complete human life, and the intellect, the whole composite creature of all of these systems that I referred to last night as different lives in him, moral, mental, life, etc. So this Sirat is really a path of knowledge. It's more than that, but it's stronger reference is to the path of knowledge, the path of development of your brain, your human intellect. So this is the path for the development of the human as a rational being with an intellect. So it is the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Now, you can understand why it's vertical. We start on the ground, and we go up from the base. That's the vertical growth. But don't forget the movement is also horizontal because we move. We do not stand at one place. Now we can understand that this is the path of those that God favored with the immediate reference to Abraham. Na'im blessings. And then it's also barakah, but it's bigger and richer and more inclusive than just blessings that we see in the world. Barakah, we say Ramadan Mubarak, right? So that's from barakah. Na'im is the blessing and comes after cuts off from the blessing, and we're still looking at it in this big picture. So this is not just blessings of health. God bless me with health. I don't have a cold, the flu, like every day. Here, I don't have the disease or that disease. That is a blessing too. But this is a much bigger blessing than that. This is the blessing that man needs to spend his life for in this world and to have it at peace, peaceful existence, and a perpetuous life. This is the blessing after it has been cut off. The Quran, Surah 31, Ayah 13, oppression, worst form of shirk. Abraham's father prayed, then left. So Abraham was the one referred to because his father was a wise, powerful man. He was a ruler in time of Abraham, but his father was also an idol worshiper. And it was God who guided Abraham to rebel against the idol worshiper of his father. Shirk idol worship is the worst form of oppression. Abraham was given wholeness for his intellect. So we have a figure in Adam that was whole, complete, and perfect in his creation. But in his consciousness, he was not. In his intellect, he was not. He had yet to reach the destination. Millah, universal hope, Sunnah of Abraham. The Quran, Surah 16, Ayat 123, follow Abraham's way. So Abraham comes and he gives himself to God. And the world is demanding now this universality in his day. So the world was demanding that universality that makes it possible for all men to live and work together in peace as brethren, and God gave it to Abraham. God said in the Quran, you are the leader of the nations, referred to his way as a sunnah. The Sunnah of Abraham, the upright in faith. Much is to be said about this. I hope I don't hold you like I used to do on Stony Island. That punished me and you. The Midlah of Abraham, this term Midlah means a hope. They translate it different ways. They say the order of Abraham, but literally It means the hope of Abraham. God opened up his eyes and he saw where mankind should go. And it was his hope, but how to get him there. Others were to inherit that responsibility. And so the way is shown how to get there. So we have the sunnah of Abraham, the upright in faith. And then we have the sunnah of Muhammad, which we will come back to, inshallah, maybe. So wrath, the path of whom you bestowed favors, your grace, favors, your blessing, not the way of those who earn your punishment, not those who invited your wrath, or your wrath came down on them. Now, who earned the wrath? Those that didn't see the big picture. The wholeness of matter, the wholeness of life for human beings. They didn't see the big picture. And because they missed the big picture, they didn't walk the path of rational intellectual growth and development. They thought that they were on it, but they were not. And really, the great wrath came upon them because they got off of the path. In the path is the mercy and the grace of God. Out of the path is the wrath and the punishment of God. Yes, punish is from man's own creation. So Quran Surah 3, Ayat 117, Allah wrong not but from self. So don't think of God as someone with a whip in his hand. That's not the God. The whip is in your creation. And God says it is not God that harms you. It is you that harm yourself. You have wronged your own soul. We need a picture of God's existence and purpose that doesn't do a disservice and a discredit our own intelligence God created us with. Look how long mankind been living with picture of God that actually does a disservice to his own intelligence and disrespect his own intelligence in a big disrespect. Man has been created to have more intelligence than that and to have more sense than that, to not to accept stupid ideas that go counter to the direction to his excellent life for his excellent heart, soul, and spirit. Aqilan means heavy weight. The Quran, Surah 73, Ayat 5. We send down a weighty word. So this is a big matter here. This is no small matter. That's what I'm trying to impress upon you, brothers and sisters. This is no small matter. This is a big matter. And God says we are going to entrust you to a weighty word, not a light word, a heavy, weighty word. So this is no small issue. So when you know religion in the right way, you are supposed to be builders of the world in service to God. That's what you are supposed to be. So you can't be satisfied just to have hymns, books, and vicars, eat and go to sleep and have sex like a dog or a cow or something. You can't be satisfied with that. This religion opens up your mind and makes your mind as big as the sun. And the sun is rendering a great service to the life on this earth. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Imam Dr. Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. We will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday. Insha'Allah, it only means if it please God. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.